Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, reminding you, if you want to listen to this episode on your smart speaker, you can do that. Just ask Google Home or Alexa to play the First Cut Golf Podcast. And we are jumping into the latest news in the world of golf today. We don't have Mark, but I've assembled the rest of the squad, so let's bring them in. Greg Ducharme, there is a lot of news that you are going to provide an interesting perspective on. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, as always. So I'm excited for this one. The match going on at Medalist, I can't wait. I can't wait to talk about the golf course because I love it. I love the place. I worked there for 3 years. So I'm really excited for this one.
Love it. And also we'll bring in Kyle Porter. Hey, KP.
How are we doing?
We're hanging. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's like 80 degrees out and I've still got my like hoodie and vest on. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm holding a puffy vest, isn't it? Yeah, I'm holding on to pullover season. Just one last week until
you hanging in there, okay? Kyle, are we worried about Kyle at all? Or is this a little down? Is Kyle a little down
today?
He looks
all right. We'll see.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I had 2 weeks there where I was struggling. But yeah, we're good. I'm excited.
Kyle, you dropped a kind of a Spieth bomb article on us. I don't even know what days there are anymore. Was that yesterday?
2 days ago? I think so. I don't know.
But how did that feel to kind of get all that out on out of the fingertips and onto the screen?
It felt good. I felt like Phil, like just artificially raising the property value of different places based on some of the words that I got out there. So Spieth Island properties are going for about 10% higher than they were last month. Some of the property tax there, I think, should just go direct to my direct deposit.
That article is available, cbssports.com. Check it out. All right, gentlemen, let's jump into this. So we have a date and a course set for Tiger versus Phil Part 2, or more officially, Capital One's The Match, Champions for Charity. Greg, let's start with you. You have very close relations with Medalist Golf Club, which is going to play host to this event, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady on May 24th. What can we expect from this golf course?
It's a phenomenal golf course. It's not easy. It's a Pete Dye, Greg Norman design. It recently went through a renovation from Bobby Weed, who came in while I was there. So I actually, while I was working there in the 3 years, played two different renditions. And again, this was one of the best jobs I've ever had. I just want to tell you about this job quick because it'll probably make you a little bit jealous. So in my third year, I got this job as Director of Player Relations. And basically the Director of Player Relations is a marshal. And now you're at a private club, there's no tee times. The members are, it's quite an impressive membership. And I'm like 25 years old, driving around the course, telling people to pick up their pace of play. And my job was I worked 8 to 4 every day, 5 days a week, 8 to 4. And after that, I had enough time to play. I would get in my cart. I had a fast cart. I'd get in there, whip around. I could play 18 every day. If somebody wanted to join me, they did. If not, they didn't. So in this new rendition of the golf course, I got quite familiar with. The most interesting thing that I see with this golf course is what they're going to do about the tee boxes. There's a big difference between the Tiger tees, which are all the way back, and even the championship tees, which are plenty. I mean, they're all you can handle as it is, over 7,000 yards, slightly over 7,000 yards from the championship tees. You're talking about probably 7,600 yards from the Tiger tees, highlighted by the very first hole. They added this tee on the other side of the marsh, on the clubhouse side of the marsh, with a 275-yard force carry over the marsh. And typically, the original tee boxes were all on the other side of the marsh. So it's kind of a benign opening hole. There's a really wide fairway. You hit, and then it's a really cool green complex, but it's a soft start to the golf course. They added this tee and now it's a 500 yard hole. And number two is a 500 yard hole from the Tiger tees. So it'll be interesting to see where everybody tees off from, but there's no way Manning and Brady are going to be able to play from that tee box. So.
Wait, did you ever have to holler at anybody about pace of play and they just hollered back at you and like gave you the finger or something?
So I had a strategy. Which I call the soft sell. So there'd be a group, usually if there's a pace of play issue, the group in the back is upset. And so they flag me down. Hey, these guys are playing slow. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. And then I drive up to the other group. So now I'm in sight. I'm handling the situation. And really I just say, hey, how you playing? What's going on with your game? Okay, guys. Yeah, just let me know if you need anything out there. We'll keep it moving and I just kind of throw it in there. And it always worked. And I say, yeah, hey, they said they're going to pick it up. So we'll see what happens.
It was Bryson.
Let me know if I need
it?
To move yet.
it was Bryson, wasn't it?
Bryson was there on a serious note one time when he was at SMU, actually.
Okay.
And that was the first time I ever saw him. And at that time, I think they made sure that nobody went off behind him. I think he was the last group of the day, so there were no issues.
For sure. This is like the first time that Dan Jenkins saw Hogan out in Fort Worth. This is Greg Duchamp seeing Bryson at
Jupiter. I knew from that moment. I said, that guy is going to be huge one day. I just know it.
He's going to be huge. Right. That was too easy. All right, Kyle. So a couple other new tidbits that we're getting out of this. $10 million in donations going to COVID-19 relief. That is quite a difference from the, what, 9 or 10 million that went into Phil's pocket last year. I imagine it would not be a great look to be doing something like, multimillionaires making millions more in the midst of all of this. So that's one thing. The other thing is how they're going to do this. So four ball on the front, Kyle, but then a modified alternate shot on the back, which means everybody's going to hit their tee shots. They'll decide which one to play, and it'll go alternate shot from there.
So first on the money thing, it sounded, I was reading through it, it sounded as if the money is coming from Turner or whoever, at Warner Brothers, whatever, whoever the broader organization is, and the players. But then everything's sponsored. Like Capital One's a sponsor. The conference call that Ernie Johnson did with the players is sponsored. So there's money coming in, and I feel like it's almost like, I feel like the guys are getting money, but then they're just like turning it over. But they made it seem as if they're just donating the money, which is fine. I'm sure that's how all of this works. I was initially confused, I guess, about how the, like, kind of the path of all the money. Did you pick up on that?
You're right. It's kind of just glossed over here in the press release. I think you're right. I think it's one of these situations where, you know, you win the 50-50 raffle at a charity outing and you hand the money right back in. Right. And it's like, okay, this is just going back to the cause. It feels like that type of situation.
Yeah, exactly. But no, the format I'm very pleased with. The alternate shot has the makings to be just the most dramatic TV we see all year. I mean, you know that Peyton's going to just pull hook one off of like the 12th tee or something. And Tiger's going to smile like it's NBD, but it really is a BD. It's really not great. And I'm super excited about that. Why is this on like five different networks, by the way? Like, are we like, do we have a camera on each guy? Where are the cameras? Who's commentating? I still have a lot of questions.
This is the issue I had last time. So my assumption is it's on five networks because everybody wants a piece of this and Turner's got all these networks and that's part of the deal. But my issue last time is there was like 17 hosts, right? They had like the entire crew from NBA on TNT, Greg, right? Like wasn't Barkley out there and wasn't like Kenny Smith or whatever out there. And it was just like, I don't know who the host is. Now, I actually am more optimistic this time, Greg, because we already saw this kind of a little bit in like the press conference and what they were doing on Zoom earlier. I think Peyton Manning can play host of this, where he kind of keeps the conversation going between the players. He can crack some jokes. He keeps a good amount of levity, where last time we just saw Tiger and Phil kind of, you know, quiet at times, walking to their ball. I think Peyton plays on course host.
It'd be interesting to see that kind of play out. Keeping the conversation going. It's possible at times, it's not at others. I do think you need some interaction from a commentator or a host. Samuel Jackson, who was out there last time, as Jacob was just mentioning.
I don't know that you I know. Need that, but.
Well, I'm just.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
I mean, how are you going to know what's in your wallet?
He's the Capital One guy. He's the Capital One guy.
So you have a couple of people out there, and I agree with you. You don't need 10 guys out there commentating on this. You just have a couple guys for a little conversation because there's going to be social distancing out there. Peyton's going to have some things. There's going to be banter back and forth, but you have to ultimately have the option of going back and forth, because if you just leave it to Peyton on the course, you could run into some situations where there's not a lot going on. There's not a lot being said. So
two things. One, the social distancing is going to be weird on the tee box, right? Like, because are they going to like stand on four corners of the? That's going to be odd. Just generally, like this match aside. And then the other thing, I think Rick picked up on this in the interview. People should go watch the interview with Ernie Johnson and the four guys, because there were some actually really funny parts. And Peyton and Phil are kind of in the same place career-wise. Like, I know Phil's still playing, but he's not playing at the level that Tiger is, in the same way that Peyton was not playing at the level Brady was whenever he was kind of out of it. And I think everybody would consider Brady and Tiger the best ever in their sport. And Peyton, on the Zoom call, was kind of going at Brady, like just getting after him a little bit in a joking way, but also like maybe not totally joking. And Phil's face as this was happening was like, oh, like this is how you do it, because Phil's always been so reticent to go at Tiger. I mean, he'll kind of do it, but not really. And that part I'm really excited about, because I think it might click for Phil and he might get after Tiger a little bit in a way that we haven't seen.
I think Phil wants to go after Tiger, but he knows that Tiger can always play the trump card, which is like, however many more wins, however many more majors, I'm Tiger Woods. He always has the trump card. So there's so many great moments from this conference call. One, Tiger Woods turned the green jacket into a Snuggie at one point.
Yeah, that was sick.
But Phil did, like, he sat in front of the trophy case. He had all like 40 trophies in front of him. He had the picture of Tiger putting the green jacket on him, and then he showed the trophy from the match last time. He said, "Oh, Tiger, you know, you might not know what this actually looks like. You've never really seen one of these. Here it is up close and personal." So that's like the one thing that he has kind of hanging over Tiger, is that he beat him the only time this ever happened. It's so good.
Yeah, I remember when, because it's like a belt, right? It's like the Anthony Kim. It's like the old Anthony Kim belt. And I remember when he got it from Ernie Johnson at the match at Shadow Creek in 18, and he was like, it like didn't fit him. And he was like, why did you guys make this in like a 32? Like, you thought Tiger was going to win. Like, what? This was like the pre coffee fasting Phil. And he was not pleased about that.
That's so good. Well, Greg, there are actually odds out for this already. And there's also like, Super Bowl level prop bets that you can put on this, like how many commercials will Peyton Manning appear in, who's gonna hit the fairway on hole number one. Like, there's we're desperate out here, but Tiger and Peyton are pretty significant favorites, -230 to Phil and Tom Brady's +175. Do you have a pick in this? Is this something that you would place a dollar on?
I would go in the direction of Tiger Woods. There's a big home course advantage here. I don't think Phil, I don't know if Phil's ever played it. And if he has, it's not very often. And Tiger plays it nearly every day. And it is important to know the greens out there. Now, the fairways are wide, but the penalty for missing them is severe. Like, you're not finding your ball. You don't want to be going into these areas looking for your ball. So I think Tiger is more accurate off the tee. I think he has the home course advantage. I think he'll know the greens better. I got to give, I mean, it feels like a more of a Tiger kind of golf course than a Phil. And I would say the same thing, even if Phil was a member as well, if Phil had played it just as much, I think it suits Tiger a little bit better. As for Peyton and Brady, that's the wild card. Yeah. Who's going to step up and play when you get onto that back nine in the alternate shot format? There's going to be some really interesting situations because there are, I would say there's a greater variety of holes on the back nine. You have a risk reward tee shot on number 10, where you kind of have, it swings to the right and there's a big marsh on the inside part of the dog leg, and you can choose how much you're going to bite off. You can nearly drive the green, or you can lay back to like 150 yards, and anywhere in between just gives you a little bit more, a little bit smaller margin for success. 11 is a drivable par four for probably not for Peyton and Brady, but definitely for Tiger and Phil. And then 14 is another drivable par four. You have a par five on 13 and 17, and 18 has water all up the right. So I think the back nine sets up for some drama. It's going to be really dramatic. There's big penalties out there. There's also plenty of birdie opportunities all mixed together. So I can't wait to see that. I definitely give an advantage to Tiger. But man, it's a wild card with this alternate shot format.
Well, that's kind of the big thing. I don't think anyone's disputing Tiger is at this point better than Phil Mickelson. What do we know about the other two, Kyle? I mean, just out of kind of the fact that Peyton Manning has been retired for a couple years and probably playing a lot more golf than Tom Brady is, I imagine his game's in better shape. You know, Brady's getting ready for a football season, but like, what do we know about these guys?
I was just thinking that I'm a little concerned about the Brady thing. Even on the call, he was like, "Yeah, you know, I haven't played much," which means like I haven't played in 8 months or something like that. Oh, although man. he might have played Pebble. I think they're both like 6 to 8 handicaps. I think we talked about that a little bit, but yeah. I can envision Peyton like grinding for the next couple weeks and just getting the game ready, and there's no chance that Tom Brady is doing that.
Absolutely correct. Yes, I trust that Peyton will be more prepared, at least, whether that means his game is better or not. But actually, before that, gentlemen, we have another match. So we are going to get back-to-back Sundays. The 24th is Tiger Phil V2. But the 17th is the Rory DJ Ricky Fowler Matthew Wolf match. Greg, we kind of covered this a little bit in a past episode, but like we are now going to have live golf back to back weeks, and then just a few weeks after that, we're going to be getting, you know, assuming everything stays on track here, getting back into the PGA Tour. This is like hope is growing in my heart. Like this feels interesting. This feels good.
Yeah, the seed is planted and it's definitely growing. It's really exciting. And the golf courses they're playing are, I mean, I can't wait to see Seminole. I don't know Seminole. I've never played it. I've heard a lot about it. I can't wait to see what it's like. So I'm very excited for that one. And again, that the golf course and that match really, in both of these matches, the golf course is up the ante for me. They make it a lot more exciting for me. So I'm looking forward to TaylorMade driving relief. I think it's going to be a good watch. And I'm very interested. I mean, I just have this funny feeling about Ricky Fowler playing out at Seminole. I know he's played there a lot in the past, as is Rory. I'm sure DJ has too. But I just have a funny feeling that Seminole is a Ricky Fowler kind of golf course. So I like that +190 underdog there for Ricky and Wolf in a sneaky kind of way.
Well, I will say this, and Kyle, I'd love your opinion on this because we're trying to keep tabs on what these guys are up to, right? We know what Bryson does because he goes on Instagram Live and Twitch every night. And we know what he's up to. Some other guys, we don't know what they're up to. And I am a pretty firm believer that Rory and DJ are by far the two better golfers in this matchup, and they maybe should be favored even more than like minus 250. But if there was ever a time to bet an underdog, if there was ever a situation where we don't know what these guys have been up to, they're going to play an 18-hole skins match, which I feel like anything can happen in, I feel like this is the time to get a dog.
Yeah, I real quick on Bryson before I do have an answer for that. Did you see these numbers?
I just scrolled through them on Twitter, but we were like preparing for the show and I didn't capture them. I saw his clubhead speed was something ridiculous, right?
138.7.
Oh my god.
That's not like human.
He's breaking the game. We talked about this before. He's breaking it.
His ball speed is 205.3. for context, 190 is like
Cam sick. Champ. That's yeah, Cam Champ.
190 is dirty. He's at 205.
I don't have it in front of me. Sorry, Greg. Real quick, like what he was doing, strokes gained off the tee from January 1st till players. I know it's only 2.5 months, but he was basically on pace to have the best strokes gained off the tee season ever. Like that was how good it was, Greg.
You just put into context that 205 number. It was only a couple weeks ago when he was doing some Twitch live stream trying to get to 200, or maybe
that's right,
Sir Nick Faldo. Right, he came up behind him. He was videotaping him, and Bryson was trying to get to 200. And it took him a couple of tries, and then he finally did it, and it was a celebration. To get from let's just call it 200. If it was 200 max, to up your max or to up your average 5 miles an hour in that short period of time,
it's been 10
days. This guy's working. he's working hard, right? This is that's significant improvement. If you man, I mean, it's just impressive.
He's going to come back looking like Oliver Miller from the Phoenix Suns, from like the 92-93 Phoenix Suns. Your original question. So I don't remember what it was.
Oh, the underdog thing.
Yeah, the underdog thing. I wrote about this a little bit today because I was writing about odds. And my point, and this is not like breaking, you know, this is not groundbreaking stuff. It's always my point with stuff like this, is if you're playing 10,000 holes, you're a fool to bet Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf, right? Yep. But if you're playing one hole, theoretically, Greg and Rick could beat Rory and DJ.
We would steal a couple out of 1,000. Yeah, we would.
Well, but I'm just saying, like, no, I'm saying if you're like, if the whole match is one hole.
Right.
There would be an opportunity for you guys to win. If it's 10,000, you would get absolutely destroyed.
Yes.
Right. And 18 is obviously a lot closer to one than it is 10,000. Therefore, just using logic here, I think it's a good opportunity for an underdog to jump up. I think Wolf is kind of the X factor, right? I think that, I mean, I was looking at his numbers today, Rick. They haven't been that good since he won 3M last summer. He doesn't have a top 10. I think he had like a T11 at Tournament of Champions, something like that. But I think he's going to have a good career. The last 8 months have been just, I don't know, kind of mediocre, kind of average for what I would probably expect for him, but he's got a ton of game. And I think that it's pretty easy for me to envision Ricky and Matthew Wolf winning.
The other thing too, you mentioned 18 holes. While it's 18 holes in a strange way, it because it skins, it almost plays like even less.
Yeah.
Like you have to, you just kind of hang around and win one hole, you can win six skins.
Right.
So I give, and Ricky Fowler, I mean, Justin Thomas is posting a picture of a scorecard. He shoots 61 one day. And like you said, it's only one day, but all this is one day too. And it just, to me, I could see Ricky Fowler going out shooting 62 and stealing this thing quite easily.
Are you a Ricky truther, Greg?
Yeah.
So Ricky, I'm a big fan of Ricky, but he constantly disappoints me and lets me down. And because I think he's gonna break through.
Like he's your kid.
Yeah, yeah. He just lets me down. So I'm not kind of coming to this realization.
I'm just disappointed.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. But I'm starting to realize what Ricky is, and it's just a really good player. It's a guy who's gonna have a lot of top tens. It's a guy who's just not gonna win a lot. So I'm starting to just kind of understand those expectations, but immensely talented.
Yeah, Kyle, too. This is a note from producer Jacob on the other side of the glass to put a pin in your note to back it up here. I mean, Jason Day at the Zozo Skins game beat Tiger, Rory, and Hideki in Japan earlier this year. And I mean, those guys have kind of obviously had different seasons since then. Tiger went on to win that tournament. Rory did all Rory things, and Hideki, you know, would have won the Players this year. And Jason Day's kind of been not very good. So anybody can win a Skins game in 18 holes.
Yeah, 100%. I'm excited about both of these. You know, I think on the one hand, you've got Seminole, I actually think I'm more excited about the Rory Ricky match. I think there's I think that one could be more fun and interesting just because of Seminole. I think Rory and Wolf will be huge personalities within that. I do think Peyton and Brady will be really good for Tiger and Phil just to loosen them up a little bit, especially Peyton. So I think both of them are going to be awesome. I'm already setting up the live blogs for the next two Sundays.
We'll close with this, Greg, and I am going to choose my words. I do not mean that there are winners and winners out of this whole situation, but one of the cool things that we are going to see over the next couple of weeks are courses that we've never seen before. And maybe that is because there's going to be golf without fans and they can go to more places. This is something that came up in a mailbag right when the PGA Tour went on hiatus about getting to see courses without fans that they can now be played at, and Seminole and Medalist are two of the top ones that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Absolutely. And they don't have the infrastructure. There's no way you could host a PGA Tour event at Medalist or Seminole. And it's nothing to do with the actual golf holes. It's the other infrastructure. Seminole doesn't have anywhere near the land to host something like that. And Medalist is a lot of marsh and swamp, and there's not a lot of usable land out there other than the actual fairways and greens on the golf course. So it's exciting to see. It definitely adds value.
Cool. All right, let's take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And we're back. All right, gentlemen. So we also got another announcement from the PGA Tour and from 2K Sports that a new video game, PGA Tour video game, is in the works. If you know me at all, you know I am very much into golf video games. I tried to get Greg addicted to the Golf Club 2019. Was I successful at that, Greg? How's that going for you?
It's in my thoughts a lot. I definitely want to play. I have a hard time getting a lot of time to play. You know, with my kids, Mac and Ricky Fowler,
Ricky takes up a lot of your time.
it's hard for me to spend a ton of time playing, but yeah, I'm a huge fan. And the thing about the golf club is you can design golf courses. Yep. And I grew up as somebody who would in spare time draw golf courses, and I could never get my real idea out onto the paper because I'm no good at drawing. And it's like a canvas. You can really build a cool golf course. So they're really cool games. It's fun. Just wish I had more time to play.
Yeah. Greg designed a course and sent it to me and it kicked my butt. But Kyle, so here, I'll give you the details about this, but I think this is part of a bigger thing for the PGA Tour compared to other sports organizations. That's my kind of hot take is coming here. But the Golf Club 2019 is a game that Greg and I referenced. It's created by HB Studios and 2K. It is a licensed PGA Tour game. So there was like, you know, you could play on the PGA Tour. You could go to qualifying. You played some of the official courses. It seems like there's going to be a much larger PGA Tour integration in the next game, Kyle. But my big thing out of this, my big takeaway is I don't think the PGA Tour has done a very good job of expanding outside of like their target golf channel demo, which is like my dad, for a long time. And I think having a video game and having potentially real golfers in it and real courses in it goes a long way because, I mean, growing up, like playing Madden, playing whatever other video games, that's how you learn the players. That's how you learn the teams, who the vision. I think that is a big way to get young fans into the game. And I'm hopeful that the PGA Tour is now going to be able to take advantage of a lot of their young stars and get a lot of young fans.
That's an interesting take because I think that, you know, when I was growing up, high school, college, it was just the Tiger Woods game, right? And so you played with, I mean, who was even in that game? You had like all these like random stock people. Yeah, you had Furyk. I think Anthony Kim was actually in one of them.
Yeah, I think Retief Goosen was in it.
Ernie Els.
But it was Donald, like, yeah. It was kind of inconsistent. Like you didn't have... There wasn't like the, you know, a lot of my friends that played stuff growing up, like they would do like the franchise mode and like create their own person and play with other, you know, play alongside other people and stuff like that. So I think that's a really interesting point. I do miss the, remember some of the courses that you got to play on Tiger where it was like, it looked like a lagoon in like Africa or something.
Or I think one was called Predator. And it was and you were like on like a battleship or something like that. There were some crazy ones, but yeah, I just think that, and this kind of goes in a couple of ways, Greg. I mean, the video game thing, I think helps young fans, the PGA Tour kind of being behind some of the other sports organizations in embracing fantasy or betting. I mean, the NBA had partnerships with FanDuel and DraftKings years ago. You know, not openly acknowledging like, hey, we're welcoming betting in, but now they're having these partnerships. And then just last year, for the first time, the PGA Tour kind of embraces DraftKings as an official fantasy partner. So I feel like if the NFL is at like 100% saturation, everyone knows what the NFL is. Everyone who's going to be a fan of the NFL is a fan of the NFL. The PGA Tour is at like 10%. I feel like there's so much room for growth of new fandom for golf.
I think that's part of the reason why you see a game like the Rory McIlroy video game come out and doesn't really succeed and it doesn't really last. This is what I find interesting about this PGA Tour video game. Obviously, as a fan of the PGA Tour, as a fan of golf, I want there to be a golf video game. I'm somebody who would be interested in playing that. And I know that both of you are as well. But how many other people are? Can that be something that is expanded? What's the real business there? And what do you have to do to sell that video game to people to then get them into the game? So I'm interested to see how it does. If it does well, is that something that is going to lead to more success on the PGA Tour? Is it going to lead to more viewers for the PGA Tour? Or is the increased viewership going to increase the video game? Like how does that streak go? Are there people who are not fans of golf buying that video game, playing it, becoming fans of golf? I'm not so sure. So there's definitely a lot of room to grow, to your point. But where does this fit in? I think is yet to be seen.
No, I think this is one of the mistakes that, and this is not a PGA Tour thing broadly, like when we talk about grow the game, which is sort of annoying or, you know, whatever, like it just gets thrown around like in weird ways. The mistake is that, like organizations trying to capture folks who are not already in the kind of in the net. So they're casting their nets outside of kind of what their group is already, instead of trying to deepen the roots of who they already have in the fold. It's so much costlier and more ineffective to go outside of that than it is to simply deepen the relationships and the attention that's already being paid to your product. And I think this is, to me, stuff like this is, it's not like there's a 9-year-old who's like, I could play Madden or I could play PGA Tour, whatever it's going to be called. They're going to choose Madden. Like, you're not like shifting their choice, but somebody who's interested in golf, who's already playing golf on their high school team or middle school team or whatever, it just increases their level of love for the sport. And I think that reverberates later on in their life whenever they're choosing a product as an adult.
It's a really good point. You're making your, to use your analogy of the net, you have this net, you have this area where everybody, you know, your target audience is, and you hug them, you hug that fan that you have already, and you make that environment better. And one thing about growing the game too, this kind of bothers me. We talk about relaxing rules. We talk about getting rid of old traditions in the game to invite more people in. The philosophy that I always take is I want to invite people in and show them how great it is. Show them why we have these traditions. Show them what we're all about here. It's like moving to a different country. If you're going to go to France and live there for a year, you're not going to try to change what France is all about to make it like America. You're going to go and learn about how the French do things. Just as an example. And I think the game of golf can at times get away from that and try to make themselves, instead of sticking to what they are and why they're great, try to become football or try to become basketball when it's just not. So I definitely see your point there, Kyle. I think it's valid.
This is how we get soccer golf with like 10-foot cups.
Right.
I love it. I like the deepening the roots thing, Kyle, because I think that, okay, I always go back to like the average golf channel viewer, the guy on CEO.
Our dads.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How many golfers on the PGA Tour can they name? The average guy? I don't know, 15, 20 maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the deepening the roots thing to me is whether it's through fantasy, whether it's through gambling, whether it is through video games, whether it is through any other initiative, if you can now start expanding that knowledge of the tour to 30, 40, 50, 100 golfers, that's good for everybody. And I think, you know, when you talk to these guys, and it's a double-edged sword, right? The tour uses the top 10 players in the world to sell all everything, right? Sell all their TV deals and everything like that. But getting a better, it's like in football. Football can be a year-round storyline because there's OTAs and there's a draft and then there is free agency and there's all this and there's a team aspect to it. Knowing the top 100 guys, the top 125 guys, making the Korn Ferry Tour finals, now that's more compelling about guys who are going to be coming onto the tour or are going to be losing their card. You can create many more storylines year round. Like, that to me is like the ideal scenario of where golf can head to.
Yeah, it's really good. This is why we need we need 1-year contracts for guys for equipment deals. And then after the season, you have a draft and it's like an auction. It would be unbelievable. It would be so good.
I would love it. All right, gentlemen. Well, speaking of games, you don't know this yet, but producer Jacob and I have conspired to throw this. This is not on the outline. This is something that we did not give you a heads up about. We're going to play trivia here in the final segment of the show. And I have the questions and answers, and you two are going to be pitted against one another. How do you feel that we have sprung this on you in the middle of the show?
That's crooked by Jacob. You're good, Rick. Like, I don't put that on you. That's 100% on Jacob.
I'm in agreement, Kyle. I think this is on Jacob. The rundown that we have going this far off track is, while it sounds fun, we gotta consult the ethics board here and see what's going on.
I knew things
really raises some red flags.
I knew things were crazy this morning when I had two texts. I had one in the First Cut group chat and then one from Jacob Solo with this plot that he was putting together. So we've been working on this since this morning. All right, so here's how it's gonna work, guys. We're gonna do a best out of five, and it's going to be Stump the Schwab style. Okay, so that means I give you a category that probably has 25 to 30 correct answers in it. You guys go back and forth. When you get one wrong or you cannot answer it, the other person wins. Okay,
are we comfortable with that format? Got that, yeah.
Got it.
So I've got five possible categories, and it's best. So first one to win three, and I'm going to flip a coin here to see who goes first. So here we go. Heads will be Kyle because he's wearing a hat, and tails will be Greg. And it's tails on my New York quarter. So, Greg, you're going to go first on this, okay?
Yep.
Our first category are the all-time top 25 PGA Tour money list, okay?
So I name as many as I can.
No, you name one. And then Kyle will name one, and then you will name one.
Gotcha.
Until one of you cannot get one right, and then that person loses.
Tiger Woods.
Okay, Tiger Woods is off the board. Kyle.
Phil Mickelson
is off the board, number two.
Vijay Singh,
number four.
Jim Furyk,
number three. We've got the top four off the board.
Sergio Garcia,
number 10 for Greg.
Rory McIlroy,
number eight, 52 million.
Dustin Johnson,
number five, 62 million.
I'm getting nervous.
I'm nervous and I'm not even playing. I'm terrified. I'm so scared right now. I have no idea what's going to happen. This is so good.
Adam Scott.
Okay. Adam Scott, number six. Yes.
Man, he's number six. Okay. Now I'm really nervous. Jordan Spieth
is number 18, 40 million. There's some guys in there. It's weird. Yet, you know, I don't want to give it away, but it's weird how you have to think about this.
It is weird. let's go. I'm trying to think of Webb Simpson.
Webb Simpson is number 22. On the list.
I thought he'd be higher.
That counts. That was Kyle's safe pick, was Webb Simpson. Greg, whenever you're ready.
Matt Kuchar.
All right. Matt Kuchar, number nine on the list.
Justin Rose,
number seven on the list.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Okay, so let's see here. Do we have the top 10 taken out yet?
I believe I was just looking at that. I believe the entire top 10 is gone. Yes.
Jason Day,
number 12 on the list. This is already more than I thought you guys were gonna get.
that's a really good one. Have we said I don't know if he's on there. Ricky Fowler,
number 21. Yes, he's on the list.
Man,
great.
So I got to think that I got two options here.
Okay.
One I feel pretty good about. Oh, man. I mean, he's got to be. I'm thinking about a couple of thresholds here. I'm trying to, like, come up with the dollar amount. Charles Howell III.
Charles Howell III is number 19 on the list.
Okay.
Yes. KP, you got probably seven or eight left, I think.
Brant Snedeker.
Brant Snedeker is number 20, yes.
The pressure is rising.
Yeah. I definitely would not have gotten, I don't think there's one left that I would have gotten, so you guys are in good territory here.
This is so crooked. I guess I got to go Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas is number 25 on the list. He's the last guy. Yes.
Can I ask if we already said somebody?
Sure.
Did we already say Ernie Els?
We have not.
Ernie Els.
Okay. Ernie Els is number 11 on the list.
Oh.
Three.
I thought I had.
There's seven left.
Okay.
This is crazy.
This is really good, guys. I'm impressed.
All right. I'm going to stick with, I see you brought some ideas to my attention now. I'm going to go, man, he just hasn't won enough. But Lee Westwood?
Lee Westwood is not on the list. Can Jacob put a buzzer in there? Or I'll do it. Wrong. Okay.
My other one was going to be Retief Goosen. Is he in there?
Nope.
Do I have to? Yeah, I have to.
Oh, Kyle has to get one? Okay, Kyle has to get one because Greg went first. Yeah, Greg went first.
Goosen was definitely on my short list. I'm trying to No, it's okay. I'm trying to think of like 38-year-olds that have just been like Jimmy Walker, Hunter Mahan. There's not.
Don't be probing me for answers and like looking to see if I give a reaction.
No, I'm not even looking at the camera. I'll go David Duvall.
David Duvall is not on the list. Now what do we do, Jacob? All right. So here's who we missed. So we'll start over. We'll go for all the marbles here. So here's who was left on that list. Bubba Watson. David Toms is 17th on the all-time list. Davis Love III. Luke Donald. Steve Stricker, Stuart Sink, and Zach Johnson were on the list.
Okay. I'm a little disappointed with myself.
All right.
Go ahead.
So. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play one last round for all the marbles here. Kyle, you'll go first this time. These are the number one ranked players in the world ever.
Tiger Woods.
Okay. Tiger Woods is off the board.
Bernhard Langer.
Bernhard Langer off the board. Correct.
Rory. McIlroy, Rory. Not Sabatini.
Yeah, be very specific here. Rory is correct.
Greg Norman.
Greg Norman is correct.
Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson. Five times, yes.
Martin Keimer.
Martin Keimer, nice pool, yes. One time, 8 weeks.
Wow, that was – you burned that early. I was saving that one. Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth is correct, four times.
Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas, once for 4 weeks. You are at the bottom of the bag, Greg. Greg's got a different strategy in this game.
If I remember the Wikipedia page correctly, there's one person who was number one for 1 week, and I can't – oh, I do remember who it is. I'll save that one for later.
I know who that is.
Luke Donald.
Luke Donald is correct. Four separate occasions.
Vijay Singh.
Vijay Singh, three times for a total of 32 weeks is correct.
Lee Westwood.
Lee Westwood for a total of 22 weeks is correct.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, one time for a total of 11 weeks.
Nick Faldo.
Nick Faldo is correct. Four separate occasions, 97 weeks total.
That's a good one. Man, if he doesn't come off the board earlier, I'm afraid he might come after me. So Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka off the board.
Tom Lehman.
There's the one time for 1 week guy. Tom Lehman.
Justin Rose.
Justin Rose. Five times for – this is a weird one. Five times for a total of 13 weeks.
I'm so stressed right now.
I'm afraid you guys are going to run through all of them and we're going to have to call it a tie.
I think Ian Woosnam.
Okay, I had to scroll. I had to find it. Is correct. One time for 50 weeks. I thought that was a no. Oh, man. I was so nervous. Okay.
I was going to go. That was my next one. That was the one that I had in mind here. So we said, did we say David Duvall?
No. You want him?
Yeah.
Now twice for a total of 15 weeks. Kyle.
Porter. Jason Day.
Jason Day, 3 times for 51 weeks.
Oh man, now we're in that era. I know we got Luke Donald and Keimer. We got all those guys. Now I feel like we're back in Nick Price.
Price is a great pool. 1 time for a total of 44 weeks. There's only 3 left. Like, I did not expect you guys to run. I was not giving you enough credit here.
Nick Price was my next one. I don't know if this is true, but I'll go with Seve.
Seve, 5 times for a total of 61 weeks. There's only 2 left, Greg.
I think in the Spanish camp, I think Jose Maria Olazabal got to world number 1.
That is incorrect. He is not on the list. Who started? So he wins.
Yeah, I started.
Yes. Yeah.
So Kyle, you are victorious. That was way impressive than I thought it was going to be. The only
who do we miss?
Wait. Do we? Hold on. Okay. Fred Couples.
Fred Couples, 2 times for 16 weeks, and there's 1 more. And I actually think you should definitely get this one.
It had to be recent.
You're overlooking it. No.
It's not Phil.
No, it's not.
Ernie Els.
Ernie Els. Yeah, you asked me. You asked me before if you picked him. All right, Kyle Porter closes it out. That's impressive. All of them. Wow, I am very impressed with that gentleman. We're gonna leave it at that because that was much more impressive than I thought. Maybe we'll do this again another time. Big thanks, Greg Ducharme at the Real GFD on Twitter. Big thanks to our current trivia champion, Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. I'm Rick Gaiman at Rick Rungood. This has been another episode of The First Cut, and we'll see you next time. And we're clear.
I thought I was going to pass out when you said Nick Price. I was dying.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.